Hello.
This is Connie. I'm here waiting too.
Oh, okay. He's
Were
been
you on the call with what?
I'm sorry, what?
Trouble with what?
He's had having trouble connecting because I couldn't get on last night. And I think, what else? One day last week, too.
Could you hear him last week well, or was it fuzzy?
I was
last
at a wedding out of state, so last week I couldn't get on at all because we were at my grandson's wedding, and
because
it was in Alabama, out of state, so I couldn't connect.
Last week, for the first time, it was like garbled. I could barely figure out what he was saying, the whole class, and I told him. He had me hang up and call back, and then he did something, but it never did go away.
Yeah, Brandy told me that. I got a message during the week saying they were going to change the number. I wonder if we ought to try that number.
I did not get that. Do you want to read it to me?
712-775-8972. Now, it says it's not going to start until November the 3rd, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him because we've just, besides a wedding, our son had open-heart surgery and quadruple bypass.
Dear.
And, so I haven't been able to check with him because that would mean having to change all the phone numbers on any of the commentaries. But I haven't had a chance to email him or anything.
Well, if he doesn't come on pretty soon, maybe we should give it a try.
Yeah, okay. Where are you?
Thank you for sharing that. I did not get that email.
Well, I got it on October the 16th. Like I say,
maybe I missed it then.
Surgery and then trying to get ready for a wedding that was out of town, 7 months drive away and gone for the weekend. And then I have my own Hebrew class and just life in general.
Who do you take Hebrew from?
At our synagogue. Either I teach it or another teacher teaches it, and I haven't been teaching this last year. So his name is Jacob Ecker.
Hey, could you tell me something? A friend at work, I am not Jewish, I just have a Jewish heart, but a friend at work told me 18 is very special to the Jewish people. Would you expound on that while we're waiting?
Yes. 18 is the word high. And it's the Hebrew letters Chet and Yud. And those two letters add up in gematria. You know, each letter
right.
has a numerical value as well as being a word.
And it's light, right?
Right, it means life. And
life, L-I-F-E, okay.
Yeah. You'll see it in jewelry. Some people will wear what they call the chai, rather than a Star of David or with a Star of David or sometimes either a Star of David or the chai. Some will also, when giving contributions, will give contributions in increments of 18. Like if you give a gift of 18, you're saying to life. If you give 36, well, you're giving double high, So
mm-hmm.
oftentimes you'll see a Jewish person do that.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to Israel on. The reason she said it is because on 2/18/2/18, I'm going to Israel, and she said that's a really special number, 1818. So,
Right. Okay, that's good. You'll enjoy your trip.
I can't wait. I've been once before, but yeah.
When are you going? In March, maybe?
No, 2/18/2/18. Yeah, 2018.
Okay, but what
so
month?
So February 18th of 2018. That's why the lady said,
okay.
"Oh, that's lucky, 18/18."
Okay. Oh, I heard a voice. Oh,
good morning.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Anabakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tati, Serura, Alephet Gimoy, Gutat Sadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Tacharenu Nora Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevava Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. The letters of the month of Cheshvan. The Dalet that created the planet Ma'adim, the planet Mars, and the Nun that created the astrological sign of Scorpio. Together, the Dalet and the Nun spell the word Din, the Hebrew word Din, which means judgment. Barchem tacharen, brachame sitkatcha, tamid gamle, betet resh, sari taf gimel. Chasim kadosh birov tuvcha na'el adata et kuf bet tet dunayin. Yachid geye lamcha p'nei zokre kidushata yud gimolamed pei zayin kuf. Shavatenu kabel Ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shin kufav tzadi yuntaf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. And we're going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Verav Chesed Ve'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alavim, Naseawon wafesha bechata'a v'nake. We're now going to connect to the Zohar through a verse from Parashah Yitro. It's Pasuk 29, and that has the energy of certainty. And we will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabrichu Ishkimte Bidchilu Urchimu Tchilu Tchilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yud He Bavav He B'yechuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayahino Amadunai Elohinu Alenu Maasei Adenu Kodanei Alenu Maasei Adenu Kodanehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bika Amatar Tane Nandakucha Berichu Koma Diaved Leila Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Veleila Mila Bioma Divae Barnash Vedach yaleya mineya ulan haga peya kalana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikola itzterich pi alma. We're now going to connect to the year 5778, our current year, which has the energy of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses from the Tanakh. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon vayidchal v'yavo Hamelech liroto vayomer Amnon El Hamelech tavo natamar achoti Hud labev le'ene, shete levivot v'evre, v'yada. The second verse is from Psalm chapter 32, verse 5. In this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet, is concealed by the letters of the name being separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha v'avoni lo kisiti amarti ode ale peshai ladonai yohewahe v'ata nasata avon Chatati Sela. We're now going to connect to the year 5777, the year of the goat. There are also two verses that connect to this year. And the first verse that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into tzatzkiach, which translates as appear like brothers. And then when we take the final letters, we're able to permute them into Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of penance. The second verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8, that connects to the year 5777. This verse has the name of the year concealed within it. The letters of the name are separated by seven letters each. Kim Badonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadibaku Kasher Asitem Adhayom Azeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses. The first verse that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit et kol haolot vayehaskum achechem halevim ad kelo tamlacha v'ad yitkachu hakohanim ki halevim yishrei levav Lehitkadesh Mehakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohewahe Lalahe Wawawa Yolayo Alame Hey Aka'a The second verse is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4, that connects to the year of the pause. Bidchu ba Adonai Yohewahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. That this year, we have 3 verses that connect to its energy. The first is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishemi meni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next, we study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavo iyam asher yitchabe sham wishavtem elai el nachon. Wehalakti itchem wechayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan tachta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu Bene avla anoto ka asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. We do this by taking each of the 216 letters, using its root vowel, and saying it out loud. Alame mehe shila lahe aka aka heta hezayo alada la awa he heya yozala me behe he reyo he kome la awa kalayo la wawa pe hela. Nu lacha yo yo yo, ve la he 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 wa. Nu ta he he a a yo re ta shi a he. Re yo yo a wa me, la ka be wa shi re. He yo yo he wa la he he ka wa ko. Menuda, Anu Yo He Ame, Re He A Yo Yo Za, He 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 Me Yo Ha, Wa Wa La Yo La He, Sa A La A Re Yo, A Shi La Me Yo He, Wa He Wa Da Nu Yo, He He Shi A Me Me. Nu nu a nu yota me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re wa me be yo he he a nu wa me he yo ta me be me nu to a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me. Yo, hey, yo, yo, may, wa, may. There are three names that we study in addition to the whole chart. These three names connect to the energy of the year 5778, the energy of bowing in order to walk with Hashem. The first of the three names is name number 13, Yud Zayin Lamed, Yozalah. This name has the energy of heaven on earth. Name number 14 is the second name. It's Mem Bet Hey, May Be Hey. And the energy of this name is farewell to arms. And name number 30, Aleph Vav Mem, Awa May. The energy of this name is building bridges. And we learn from this these three names that by building bridges among people, reducing conflicts and arguments, by increasing peace in our world, we can say farewell to wars, farewell to arms. And this is the path to bringing heaven down to earth. We will now connect to the 72 names from the Tzaddikim in the same manner, with the root vowels on all of the letters. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be me a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka be ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a. Yo tsa la me re he, he yo yo he me me, la wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la, nu me ha yo he yo, be nu he 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 wa, nu yo he he shi ya, yo re ta shi ya he, re la yo a wa me, La yo be wa he re, yo yo wa la he he, ka a ko me nu da, anu yo he wa me, re he a yo he za, me he shi he me ka ho, me ha ha, wa wa la yo yo he, sa a la a re yo, A ala beta he, wa he wa da la yo, he yo shi ala me, nu he a nu wa ta, me la he pe a yo, nu ka ko me yo re la, he be he me za re, wa he be yo a he, ala wa be za yo. Da he be me kako, a la a he he wa, re la he yo yo me, he la yo me he me. There is one name that is name number 30. It's the same location, the same name, the same letters in the two different charts. It's Aleph Vav Mem, Awame. It's teaching us that the emphasis the importance of building bridges, which is the path to reducing chaos in the world by bringing peace among people, by reducing the conflicts, by building bridges. The Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the ninth day of Cheshvan, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel, known as the Rosh, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Leib Bloch, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda ben Rabbi Yitzhak Shmuel HaKohen, Rabbi Yehuda Horowitz, known as the Stutschuner Rebbe, and Rabbi David Lenido of Aram Soba, which is Aleppo in Syria. And as we normally do on Sunday, the Tzaddikim who will pass, who have chosen to pass the 10th day of Cheshvan, which starts this evening after sundown. Gad ben Yaakov Avinu, a progenitor of the tribe of Gad, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, or the 13 sons of Jacob, or the 15 sons of Jacob. Rabbi Yechiel Michel of Krakow, Rabbi Arya Leib of Stanislav, Rabbi Meir, the Rav of Lelov, and of Ostrocha, Rabbi Abraham Oppenheim, Rabbi Yosef Meir, the Rav of Golina, Rabbi Yitzhak Shich of Karlin, known as the Kerenora, Rabbi Meir Shapit of Kovrin, Rabbi Dov Berish Weidenfeld, the Techspiner Rav. And the eighth verse of the Anna Bekoach we say in a whisper. Today's class continues our study on the goodness of the land of Israel, the Tuv Haaretz. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom page, the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. I believe it is row 18, the right-hand column, where it says the goodness in the land of Israel, the Tuv Haaretz. When you open up the landing page, scroll down to class 9B, where we will start at chapter 11, section 3. Are there any questions before we start? The title is Giant Steps for Mankind. 4 cubits in Eretz Yisrael refer to the 4 upper sephirot of the world of Yetzirah. And the following is a continuation of the previous section, which discusses the various ways in which the act of a child of Israel walking in the land of Israel is a tremendous tikkun for both the individual and for all of creation. After Adam was created, on the fifth hour and onwards, the worlds were ascending. The sixth aspect is derived from the sages. It appears to me that the Eretz Yisrael referred to in the Talmud hints at the status, it had prior to the sin of Adam. For then the four highest sephirot of Yetzirah were at the place which is now the Nukva of Atzilut. That is opposite the four sephirot of Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of Zeron Pin. The six lower sephirot of Yetzirah were in the place that is now the upper six of Briah. And this is what the sages meant by he who walks four cubits in Eretz Yisrael, that they are the upper four sephirot of Yetzirah, that he merited to rectify all the levels until he reached the four upper ones of Eretz Yisrael that are now the Nukva of Atzilut. He is guaranteed entrance to the world that is coming. For once he has attained the level of Nefesh of Atzilut, he is guaranteed never to fall into sin. About this is written, no iniquities shall befall a tzaddik, that is, for a person who has attained the level of the nefesh of Atzilut. One of the most important aspects of this paragraph is for us to begin to realize how the sephirot are not static circles, as it appears in the glyphs that we've all looked at and that Rabbi Ashlag warns us about. The sephirot move against each other. They move relative to each other. They move up, they move down. This is the idea of a good action that elevates the world and a good negative action lowers the world. These movements happen automatically in certain days of the year, the holidays, for example, or even negative days of the year. The system that Hashem set up for the sephirot to move relative to each other is automatic. It's a natural process. But man's actions interfere with that natural process and modify it and change it such that when someone walks in the land of Israel, those sephirot are elevating or declining based on the actions of that walk, the consciousness of that walk. Continuing to read. The seventh aspect comes from the Sefer HaGilgulim, the Gates of Reincarnation, at the end of chapter 17. After Adam was created on the fifth hour and onwards, the worlds were ascending. Zeron Pin had gone up to the place of Arichan Pin. The Nukva of Zeron Pin had gone to the place of Hachma. The ten Sephirot of Briah had gone up to the place of Bina of Atzilut. The ten Sephirot of Yetzirah had gone up to the place of the Zeron Pin of Atzilut. The four Sephirot of Asiyah had gone up to the place of the Nukva of Atzilut. The only parts that were not in Atzilut were the lower six sephirot of Asiyah. They are like the aspect of the Ibura Shel Ir, the extension of the city. What is the idea of the extension of the city? There's a halakha about Shabbat, regarding Shabbat, not to walk more than 2,000 cubits outside of the environment, the environs of a city. This is the idea of the extension of the city. That extension, those 2,000 cubits, are within the environs of the city by that this spiritual discussion, this spiritual law. But of course, man's actions can modify that. Continuing to read, Zerampin of Atzilut is called Eretz Yisrael. We can now know that Zerampin of Atzilut is called Eretz Yisrael. This is attained each Shabbat afternoon. Yet because of the sin of Adam, there is no higher level to which they can ascend. Therefore, we must conclude that the four mochin, the brains, the upper set of Zerampin, are called the four cubits of Eretz Yisrael. That is why it is said that he who walks four cubits in Eretz Yisrael, meaning he who causes the entrance of the four mochin, the four upper sephirot, into the aspect of Zerampin, in the state of Gadlut, is guaranteed entrance to the world to come, that is coming. For he has the neshama of Chachma and Bina of Hatzilut, meaning that he has the capacity to draw forth the Mohin into Zerampin. Behold, the Mohin are the four names Havaya, and the four echies, the combination of which equals Ama, as explained above. The eighth aspect of this is based on the well-known verse, God founded the land in wisdom, in Chachma. Behold, within Chachma there exist 10 sephirot. Each one is correlated to the name of Av, 72, Ayin Bet. Those 10 multiplied by their individual 72 have the same numerical value as the term Arba Amot, meaning four cubits. The gematria of Arba Amot is 720. This is why the statement of he who walks Arba Amot in Eretz Yisrael, which is the Nukva of Zerampin, is guaranteed entrance to the world that is coming. For just as Zerampin is called the son of the world that is coming, for he rectifies the Malchut through drawing forth the 10 Avs, the 10 Chachmas of Chachma, the 10 Sephirot of Chachma, into her Nukva, which is called Eretz Yisrael, which is Zerampin. For her only way of rectification is through Chachma. The ninth aspect of this is in accordance to the writings of the Arizal. The Netzach Hod Yesod of Zerampin are the builders of the Partsuf of the Nukva. The entire structure of the Nukva of Zerampin is made up of the Netzach Hod Yesod of Zerampin, who are called Bonim, which is the Hebrew word for builders. As the verse says, and all your children, in Hebrew, the word is benech, will be students of God. Don't pronounce it benech, your children, rather boneach, or boneich, meaning your builders. This is coming from the Talmud. They are the builders of the partsuf of the Nukva. The first three joints of Netzach Hod Yesod of Zerampin make the Chachma, Bina, and Dat of the Nukva. The three middle joints of Netzach Hod Yesod of Zerampin make the Chesed, Geburah, and Tiferet of Nukva. The three lower joints of Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Zeranpin make the Netzach, Hod, Yesod of Nukva. The lower third of the Tiferet of Zeranpin makes the Keter of the Nukva. A person causes, through his observance of the mitzvot performed in Israel, the illumination of the light to shine in Eretz Yisrael, who is the Malchut. I recommend that you make drawings of the glyph that you can move against them or attempt to visualize it. Actually, it's better to visualize it in your mind, how these sephirot move against each other, relative to each other, and begin to get a sense of how the beauty of the structure of the sephirot really is and does work. Continuing to read. The idea is that the illumination of the Tiferet Netzach Hod Yesod of Zeranpin leaves its place to rectify and create the Partsuf of Nukva, who is called Eretz Yisrael. These four sephirot, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod of Zeranpin, are called the four cubits. That is similar to that which the sages teach us. Since the day of the destruction of the temple, all Hashem has in this world is the four cubits of halacha, literally meaning the Jewish path, but also referring to the word for walking. The intention here is that her partsuf was reduced, leaving her stature to reach only opposite the four sephirot, Tiferet Netzach Hod Yesod of his. Therefore, the essential rectification that we do for her in our exile is to eliminate those four amot, those four cubits in the Malchut, which is called Eretz Yisrael. This is what the statement of the sages, he who walks four amot, four cubits, means. A person causes, through his observance of the mitzvot performed in Israel, especially those that are dependent upon the land of Israel, the illumination of the light of the four cubits, namely Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod of Zeranpin, to shine in Eretz Yisrael, who is the Malchut. He is guaranteed entrance to the world that is coming. In other words, he has elevated himself to the level of one who is called a son of the world that is coming, which is the level of Zeranpin, the son of Bina, whose realm is called the world that is coming. For just as Zeranpin is constantly observing her and illuminating her, so too he who causes the walking of the four cubits in her is similar to the husband of the matron, who is called the son of the world that is coming. That's the end of the section. Are there any questions? Of course there are questions, but it's also confusing because these are words and we need to translate these words into pictures. And that's what I had suggested earlier. The next section, To Die in the Holy Land, Chapter 12, Part 1. Those that die in Israel attain easy atonement. There are four levels that will be discussed. The highest level of holiness of those that dwell in Eretz Yisrael. The remainder of those dwelling in the land. The higher level of those who live outside the land. And the remainder of those that reside outside the land. people of the highest caliber do not really die. The first category are those who can never really be justly described as dying, except for at the hands of Hashem. Upon those, the term used for their passing is Gaviya. They expired. They could be compared to a person lying in his bed, imprisoned in his house, without neither exiting nor entering. So too, even their flesh of the people of the highest caliber shall remain secure, as in the case of Rebbe Elazar Barebi Shimon, who remained perfectly intact for a very long time without burial. This was also the case as well for Achai Bar Yoshia, who didn't experience decomposition, as well as a few people in each generation who have incorporated in themselves the stature of the patriarchs and the matriarchs. This was accomplished by their sanctifying themselves in those areas that are permitted, even on the level of thought. Those types of people do not really die. And I am adding, according to the legend, the martyrs of the Bar Kokhba revolution against Rome, their bodies remained unburied and also undecomposed for 7 years. There is also a prophecy to this effect that will be true if Chas v'Shalom the Armageddon War will occur. Second, to that level are those holy masters who pass away outside the land, such as our father Jacob. That is why he commanded his sons to bury him immediately in Eretz Yisrael, for he knew that there would be no hindrance, for the external forces had no protest to him. Similarly was the level of Rebbe. Upon his passing, he held up his 10 fingers and proclaimed that he had derived no pleasure for all his material possessions. A level akin to those was that of Moses, to whom God himself took care of his burial. Again, within Aaron and Miriam, they all enjoyed a similarity of sorts due to their holiness. They all were spared the decay in the earth of their physical bodies, for they had escaped the sin of Adam, totally purifying themselves from any remnant of it. They became transformed into a chariot for the heavens. Thus their bodies exist, and they did not die. Rather, they are called slumberers of the earth. Those that died in Eretz Yisrael have no accountability to the external forces. The third level is that of the rest of those who died in Eretz Yisrael. They have no accountability to the external forces. Despite their partaking in the pleasures of the world, for their consumption was not provided for by them, by the external forces. For Eretz Yisrael derives its nourishment and sustenance from the hand of Hashem. Therefore, when they, the external forces, come and accuse them of consuming from their sources, they will be able to answer that they didn't derive benefit from them. Nonetheless, they will need to have their bodies decompose, for they did not remove themselves completely from the sin of Adam. Therefore, they must be subjected to the punishment of, for you are earth. Upon death, their bodies decay, yet their souls are sanctified. That is the reason why they are impure, and they transfer impurity through contact and transportation, which all stems from the first klipa, the first shell resulting from Adam's sin. This leaves room for a rectification for those who live abroad. To entirely avoid being ruled by the forces of impurity. For we have found many thousands of tzaddikim that died abroad, yet they had a rectification. For they had absolved themselves from partaking in worldly pleasures their whole lives. For nourishment and physical pleasures abroad are controlled by the external forces. These tzaddikim avoided this by only deriving benefit from mitzvot, such as official meals, in celebration of a wedding, or a circumcision, or on Shabbat and Yom Tov. For in those circumstances, the forces of impurity have no grasp, for they are all protected by the feminine force of the great depths. For all Shabbat food is derived only from holiness. So even if they are abroad, the forces of spiritual impurity have no control over them, for they will be able to say that they derive no benefit from them. The purely physical pleasures, even in a physical sense, only enough to support the body's function in enabling the soul to deal in Torah. This is as it is stated, a tzaddik eats to satisfy his soul, thus attaining a rectification despite their death outside of Eretz Yisrael. If he were to die abroad, then his pure neshama leaves him, leaving him with only that negative force. The fourth level applies to those who indulged in delicacies of the material world. Therefore, de facto, they were under the influence of the evil inclination. Even though they have to their credit Torah and good deeds, the spirit of evil affects them. Therefore, upon their deaths, this spirit doesn't leave them right away and is only removed when their physical bodies return to the earth. Being that this spirit resides in them at the time of their passing, even if the body was then brought to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, it won't get rectified. But if a person were to live the vast majority of his life abroad, yet towards the end he became alive to Eretz Yisrael, he, upon arrival to Eretz Yisrael, is purged of this negative spirit. Yet if he were to die abroad, then this pure neshama leaves him, leaving him with only that negative force. The force defiles his body. That is the secret of the drop of poison that the angel of death uses on the body to cause death. That is why a corpse is considered the most powerful source of impurity. For through the defilement and attachment of that evil spirit, the holy neshama is forced to leave. Therefore, even if he is buried in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't attain rectification, for his soul left his body while abroad. Upon those it is written, and they shall come and defile my land. That's the end of the section. Does anyone have any questions? I'm going to read the next section, which is chapter 12, part 2. It will extend us a little bit past time, and I hope you all have the time to continue to listen. The Bones of the Righteous, chapter 12, part 2. Even after death, one must be careful not to contaminate the land of Israel. Who was greater than Joseph the Tzaddik, who was connected to Eretz Yisrael with the characteristics of a Tzaddik, and Tzedek, both Yesodim and righteousness, and was never under the control of the evil spirit? Despite that, being that his soul departed from him outside of Eretz Yisrael, he did not want to enter Eretz Yisrael until his flesh would decompose, and all that would remain of him would be bones. For the force of evil can only attach themselves to the flesh and blood, even of evildoers. How much more so regarding the Tzaddikim in their death? Likewise, all those that live outside of Eretz Yisrael, even if they are such great tzaddikim as Joseph, they would still be better off living in Eretz Yisrael. If they don't come to live in Israel, it is prohibited for their bodies to be brought to Eretz Yisrael after their death, until their flesh has decomposed, and all that remains of the physical are bones. Upon the bringing of bones, the verse, "And you shall come and defile my land," does not apply. Rather, it applies to bones that are brought with flesh. For after the flesh is decomposed, Hashem blows a spirit, and it pushes out any evil forces. For Hashem has pity for the land. All this is written in the Zohar, in the Parasha of Truma. For both the righteous and the wicked, there is benefit in the decomposition of the flesh. Yet despite the above explanation, we are left with a strong question. If so, then why did our patriarch Jacob, of blessed memory, command that his children bring his entire body to be buried, as opposed to Joseph's bones? The answer is that Jacob was unique. Nobody who ever existed could be compared to him, for he was complete in all aspects of life. His 12 sons and the 70 souls were exactly parallel to the divine chariot of the Shekhinah. That's why he commanded them that nobody aside from his children should touch his coffin, in order that no spirit of defilement shall descend upon him. And how did he attain this level? The answer is based in the following. Abraham, Isaac, and all of the other Tzaddikim had not perfected the chaos resulting from Adam's sin, except in partial form, corresponding to a limb or a part of the body. Whereas Jacob rectified the entire body of Adam's sin, his whole essence was purged of any forces of defilement. The putridity of the primordial snake was expelled from him, manifested by his attaining the blessing from Isaac and the birthright from Esau, and subjugated the angel Satan, as mentioned in Parashat Toldot. Therefore, the spirit of evil and the defilement of the primordial snake were absolutely removed from him, and that is why he had no fear at all. A thought just occurred to me, and this is an unwritten commentary. I have always questioned why Jacob and Joseph were embalmed. They were mummified in Egypt. The Torah tells us that. And this paragraph that we just read, the thought that occurred to me is these two men chariots for separation. They had purified much of themselves, Jacob completely and Joseph almost completely. So they required the mummification to, because they died outside of Israel. Jacob could go buried in Israel, as was just explained, and Joseph to purge the balance of the negative system from his body through its deterioration. I hope that's clear, because it's to me in my mind, and sometimes my words are not as clear as I would like them to be. I'm continuing to read. Another proof explained in the Zohar is that for both the righteous and the wicked, there is benefit in the decomposition of the flesh. For the individual won't merit entering into his own domain until his physical body disintegrates. This raises a question as to why Joseph or Jacob be embalmed. Yet with what we have mentioned above, there is no problem, for Jacob didn't need to have his flesh decayed. On the contrary, he was to remain totally intact, for he embodied absolute and complete pristine holiness. Know that all of the sin of Adam, physical existence, its actions and pleasures, all stem from the primordial snake. For though through the sin they became physical, after being spiritual, with an intellectual connection to the wisdom of Hashem. Therefore, a wise person who pushes off all his lusts and only partakes of the material world, his bare necessities. Without intention of the pleasures involved, will not be infected by the physical impurity, as well as ailments of the physical nature. The only cause of his death stems from the poison of the snake that has been transferred down to him from the sin of Adam, not from his own shortcomings, his own actions. Nonetheless, those people who indulge in the pleasures of this world and its lusts add to the poison of the snake. It's as if they are renewing within themselves the sin of Adam. Therefore, they die their own deaths. That's the end of section two, or part two. Does anyone have any questions? The classes later today, there will be a class at 3:00 West Coast time that will continue our study of advanced reincarnation. Our class is Monday at 4:30 will be our mini Zohar class, continuing our study of section 13 of the Parsha of Noah. And And our 7 o'clock class will be a connection to the Hilula of Rachel Imenu, whose Hilula is Monday night and Tuesday, the 11th day of Cheshvan. Does anyone have any questions? If not, I wish you all a beautiful week, Shavua Tov, a week filled with peace. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom to all.